All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 13p, 6 times 6 times 6 equals 216. You know, I wonder if we're going to make it all the way to the letter Z in our series of studies here in Revelation 13. Well, that would be 10 more. So that's quite a bit. I don't know if we're going to go that long, but I guess we'll see how the Lord leads us. I hope you guys are enjoying this series as much as I am researching and preparing for them. It is one of the most difficult researches I've ever done, but yet it is one of the most rewarding. So anyways, let's move on to our slides here. Before we begin talking about the number 216, I'm going to read this headline of this article that just happened. This just happened recently within the last few days, where a woman marked a church with 666 graffiti, attacked cop with crucifix, say police. You know, this is, I guess she did it like 15 times, writing the number 666, 15 times all over the church, and then tried to, when the police officers tried to detain her, she tried to attack him with a metal crucifix. I just thought this was odd, since we were doing this in-depth series on this number 666, that we would see something this bizarre. Anyways, there is actually, back to the number 216 here, there was actually a movie put out a number of years back, called Pi, that was centered around the mystery of the number 216. And in the movie, there are some rabbis desperately seeking for a sequence of 216 numbers that supposedly contain the secret name of God. They believed if they were able to do this, if they were able to find out what these numbers were, they would be able to usher in a messianic age. Think about that for a minute. Now, we're looking at the dark side of this number. Those who are applying it in a dark, sinister way. As you can see here, this symbol here is commonly used by the synagogue of Satan. We did a study months ago, titled The Synagogue of Satan. I think it's in Revelation chapter 2. And we go into now this symbol isn't all by itself. It's not, in and in itself, it's not evil. But those using it oftentimes are using it to symbolize Lucifer, the bright and morning star, that fallen archangel, who is none other than Satan himself. So, anyways, when we're talking about finding some secret code to usher in a messianic age, hey, that's already happened. Christ already came. So that we couldn't be talking about anything other than the Antichrist. Why is 216 so important to those seeking the Antichrist? Well, that's a good question. Anyways, they came these rabbis came in contact with a mathematician that apparently solved the mystery. But after the long struggle of trying to crack the code, the scientist began to go insane. And to stop himself from obsessing over the meaning of numbers, as well as the meaning of the universe and so forth, he gave himself a lobotomy. And you see it here. He actually stuck a drill into his head to eliminate the part of the brain that gives him critical thinking. Because, I guess he just couldn't handle seeking the deep truth here. So it was better just to live without thinking about things too much, and just to live in a stupor and just enjoy the simplicities of life. That's actually how this movie sort of ended. The writers of it seem to want to discourage the quest of anybody seeking for the meaning of 216. They made it seem like after you got done watching it, it made it seem like, oh man, that's just an endless quest to nowhere, and it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. In other words, there's nothing to see here. There's nothing to this number. It'll just drive you crazy. So you better just move on. But you know what? In Revelation 13, verse 18, God gave us a challenge to factor out the number of the beast. And one of the factors appears, especially when you're using a method of ancient math that's used even in the Bible, comes out to 216. In other words, 6 times 6 times 6 equals 216, making this a factor of that great equation. You know, paganism has always had a way of guarding its secrets. They don't want any, for some reason, they don't want anybody to know the meaning of this number. At least how they are using it. And I thought that was interesting. So if you have time and you want to kind of see the dark side of, see how they try to hide their secrets and how they toy with things, you might want to check that out. Otherwise, we're going to move on here. All right. Before we get into factoring out this equation that we are given in Revelation 13, verse 18, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we make our way through this series on the number of the beast, we're beginning to see clearly that 666 is a number that has been and is still very important to paganism, and that it is at the center of the conspiracy of Satan's attempt to overthrow your kingdom. So please help us continue factoring out this equation so that we can be better prepared to withstand the great deception that is engulfing this world and that is coming in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Last week, we looked at an equation that equaled 666, and it was it was a simple one. It was 306 plus 360 equals 666. And we found out that there was a man in the book of Genesis chapter 34, named Shechem, who was the son of Hamor. And he was the man who seduced Jacob's daughter, Dinah, and was a type of the coming Antichrist, the coming seducer of Israel. Because he had a grand scheme in his mind, not just because he loved Dinah and wanted her to be wife, but because he wanted to fuse the house of Israel together with his people. And that wasn't part of God's plan. God wanted the Israelites to be separate from the other nations. So you can see there the type of the Antichrist. And the his first name, Shechem, was 360 plus 306 to give us the number 666. And then we saw Nero Caesar. Same equation. Nero, his first name, and then Caesar, his title, is also 306 plus 360 to equal 666. All right. And then we also found out that Napoleon, in more recent history, if you divided up his name from the first seven letters and last three, you'd get the the first 7 would equal 306 plus 360 to equal 666. Now, this can't be an accident. There's something going on here. And before we talk about what that might be, let's look at this. 360, what does it symbolize? Well, it's the number of the circle for 360 degrees, or the zodiac. And what is 306? Well, 306 is a factor connected with the moon's ellipticity. That is its orbit around the Earth. And because it doesn't go in a perfect circle, it is called an ellipticity. And that was 1306 was 1306 was the moon's ellipticity. But if you just drop the fraction there, you have 306. So basically, if you look at this as an equation here, you'd have 360 equals the zodiac plus the moon's ellipticity. Well, what in the world does that mean? It's strange. Well, this equation somehow relates, obviously, here to the cycles of the moon and probably the sun's path through the zodiac. But what exactly were they trying to hide? And why? And why were the initiated ones, the only ones allowed to understand mysteries such as these? You see, the common person didn't understand there was a hidden equation underneath the names of these people. Sometimes it might have been simply God's hand in it, such as in Shechem. But at other times, I believe it was purposely planned by the heathen to represent their leader. The leaders of many times that come out of these so-called secret societies, the mystery schools. Well, those are some questions we should ask ourselves. What were they trying to hide, and why? And why were only the initiated ones allowed to understand this? You see, what's interesting is that pagans had a practice of doing something for many years. It was the practice of playing with, manipulating, reorganizing letters and numbers for some devious purpose, or even for some secret purpose. That, again, was not known to the masses. In fact, and they do this even unto this day. Little word tricks, little number shifting and letter switching. And I tell you what, we're going to talk about. I'm going to show you something in Revelation chapter 13 where God exposed this. You see, pagans, the number 666 has been the number sacred to paganism from the beginning, and it's a number of the beast, their god, the false messiah, the serpent man, the man serpent. And we're going to go into an equation or a little acrostic in Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, that points something out to us in a big way. As well as, I think we're going to look at some other things that will just really give you, it's exciting, number one, to be able to see the truth and to be able to see what the enemy has done. You see, the enemy oftentimes uses these things, these numbers, and they play with letters, numbers, even to blaspheme God. I mean, Satan and his followers, and his demons seem to take great joy in mocking, ridiculing, defaming our Lord Jesus Christ at every opportunity. See, it's not enough for him just to try to steal the kingdom, but he wants to degrade Christ as much as he possibly can. He's that sick, that twisted, that evil. And again, he does it through numerology as well as through phonetics, that is, through the alphabet. But I'll say this. Even in I was talking about how they play with letters and numbers, and this number 666, even up to this present day. Well, this may surprise some, but even in the Disney logo itself, you have the number 666 displayed there. And it's hidden all throughout their movies, in one way or the other. So a lot of times it's just in the background. You'll see different numbers add up to different things on a little poster that nobody else would see. It'd say something like hot dogs, 59 cents, and so on and so forth. And if you pause it and you add it up, you'd be like, why in the world would somebody do that? Well, we're going to begin figuring that stuff out more and more as we get through this series of studies. And I hope to point out to you many tools that you'll be able to explore on your own so you can do more of this. You can take a lot of this research even further than what we're going to take it. Anyways, let us move on. Let's start factoring out this number 216. And like 306, the number 216 is a number that is related to the moon as well. Remember 306 was the ellipticity of the moon? Well, 216 has something to do with the moon too. And I'll show you that in a little bit. But I first want to caution you, just because a number is a factor of 666 does not always mean that it's evil. In fact, even 666 in itself is not an evil number. When you begin to start searching it out in creation, in the Bible, and so forth, it's not an evil number. It's just that it's become associated with evil because Satan has stolen it, laid claim to it, and has given it to the beast as the numeric value of his name, that ultimate seed of the serpent. You see, when God revealed to us the number of the beast being 666, it appears as though he exposed a long-guarded secret of paganism. A secret that, again, that only the initiated ones knew. In fact, the entire book of Revelation, when you really look at it closely, exposes the secrets of paganism. I mean, in Revelation, some very simple examples are Revelation 12, verse 9. God, or Jesus Christ, identifies to us that the dragon, the serpent of paganism, and the devil and Satan are one and the same. Are one and the same. That exposes Hinduism, Buddhism, the Egyptians, is all coming from Satan. All being the same person. All being a part of that mystery of iniquity. And then you have the beast rising up out of the sea in Revelation 13. Did you know that paganism talked about their Savior coming and rising from the sea? You see, I believe when the book of Revelation came, it just upset Satan. and his followers, the pagans, we call them pagans, Satan worshipers, if you want to say that, it just upset them because he just laid everything out in the open. I mean, if you had been a member of one of these mystery schools and you read Revelation, you'd be saying, who let out the secrets? We've been guarding these for thousands of years. And here John, the apostle, comes along. He gets a vision from God. And he tells it all. I mean, it is beautiful. All the way up to... And not only does God expose paganism, but he sets the record straight. He reclaims his symbols, such as Virgo. Oh, the pagans use it to represent Isis. As the mother of Horus and the wife of Osiris. But you know what? God sets it straight and has Virgo being that representing that seed of the woman of whom the true Christ would come ultimately through the womb of Mary. And again, that's just one simple example. He exposes Mystery Babylon and how she works. Everything. Everything. And then even underneath the surface, if you know how to use biblical mathematics, if you know how to calculate, how to factor out like God challenged us to do in Revelation 13, verse 18, when he said, whoever has wisdom, let him calculate, factor out the number of the beast. When you start learning how to use biblical mathematics, you see acrostics, equations, running through the entire Word of God. As a language all on its own. Solidifying. The divinity of the Word of God. I'll tell you what, after doing this series of studies, well, even before that, my faith was strong. I was not able to be shaken, but I will tell you what, after looking at even the fact that science is in the Bible, all the different scientific laws, formulas, equations, and seeing that no man would be able to put together the Bible with an underlying structure of gematria. There's no way. There isn't a man or a group of men that intelligent. And if there was, there's no way they'd be able to put it together. However many 60 different I'm trying to remember how many different penmen God used by the moving of his Holy Spirit, but let's just say 60 men over, you know, a couple thousand years or more. No way. There's no way that can happen. Anyways, some examples of 666 being used in the positive sense. I know this may surprise some of you. It surprised me. Because I'm sitting here thinking, well, 666 is the number of Satan. It's evil. It's vile. But then it was undeniable. I was looking at it. Well, 666, here it is. It the head of the corner, a phrase in the Bible from Psalms 118, verse 22. In Hebrew, gematria equals 666. Strange. Well, the head of the corner, I have no doubt, is referring to the chief cornerstone of a pyramid structure. And then we have Yahweh God hath created the heavens in Isaiah 42, verse 5. And that equals 666. He hath made the earth from Jeremiah 10, verse 12. That gematria comes out to 666. Let there be lights in Genesis 1 verse 14 equals 666. Well, why? What is going on here? Well, I'll talk about that in a little bit. But I just wanted to show you that you have to be careful when you see numbers that you don't always associate it with evil no matter what. No matter what. There's a reason behind this. And again, we'll talk about that in a minute. But 216, we find out that that's also used in the positive sense. In scripture here, some of the phrases like breathe, or he shall speak, or I am he, I am the first, I am also the last, by gematria equal 216. Strange, right? Because 6 times 6 times 6 equals 216. What's going on here? Well, it appears as though Satan, you know, remember, Satan is a thief. He is a robber. He doesn't really create anything on his own. God is the creator. He can only manipulate, change, and pervert the things of creation. He's a fraud. So it appears as though Satan hijacked this number because of its unique mathematical properties related to creation, as well as astronomical movements of time. In other words, I think this is Satan's attempt to put himself at the center of the universe, with everything else revolving around him, as though he is the creator of all. Probably why you have the pagan sun god, the imposter. We know that Christ is represented by the sun. And what happens in the solar system? Everything moves around the sun. Well, Satan wants everything to move around him. And he wants to claim that he is the creator. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is, you know, the top stone, the capstone of the pyramid. Which brings us up to this next slide here. Going back, 666 equals the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. This probably explains that, you know, because that position seems to be the head of everything. The head of everything. Which brings up something else. You know, it brings up this question. The Eye of Horus. A lot of talk about it. Find tons of stuff on the internet about this. Is this the Eye of Horus? Or the all-seeing eye of God on the back of the Great Seal of the United States? Well, that's something that we'll have to discuss at another time. And it's one of those things that it's sort of difficult at times to sift through who's using these symbols and why. Because a lot of the symbols Satan uses, he has stolen from Almighty God. So, and then there's people in the middle that, you know, they'll see it as, they interpret it as something totally different than the originators of the symbol. Or, Satan's people will hijack a symbol that was originally good and twist it. Now, as far as the Great Seal goes, we definitely know there were tares among the wheat at the founding of America. There were some great Christian men and women, but it was primarily the men that at that time that founded America. But there were also others there trying to move America in a different direction, trying to set a new path other than the one that the pilgrims laid, who came here to advance the gospel of the kingdom. So again, this will be another topic for another time, and it's one that takes a great deal of research. Anyways, let's move on. Factor in the number 216. Let's start doing that here. 6 times 6 times 6 equals 216. Well, it just so happens, and it's very interesting, that the carbon atom is made up of 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons. And you can see it, here's a diagram of that here. It looks like a little mini solar system. You know, as you find out, God likes spheres, circles, especially circles. I mean, you look up in the heavens and everything's like a circle or a sphere. But if you look down to our atoms, you see the same thing. Little mini solar systems, little mini universes. It's amazing. It's amazing. But anyways, I will say this, that carbon, we're on this next slide here, but carbon is the basis of all living. The carbon atom is the basis of all living matter, of all life on Earth. And the diamond represents carbon, or 6 protons, 6 electrons, 6 neutrons, in its purest form. Is that bad? In itself? Well, it doesn't seem to be. I mean, diamonds are beautiful. They seem to reflect the light, the glory. But the dark side, I know this might surprise some of you, because we all grew up Superman being one of the great American heroes. It may also represent the evolution of man reaching a state of so-called 666 level of perfection through the work of the serpent rather than Christ. You see here, you have the serpent inside of a diamond. That's what this is. And don't for a minute think this is an accident. We did a whole study titled Satan Superman 666. Some people probably thought, oh, Pastor Ben's stretching things. He's getting a little bit overboard. I'm telling you, this is so plain and it's so obvious. This S, maybe an S to most people, but to the initiates, as they blaspheme openly to our Christian peoples, it is a serpent as the center of all life. And this isn't the only time that the S or the snake or the serpent has tried to position himself at the center of something. In fact, the 3 Greek letters that equal 666 in gematria are made up of the first letter. It looks like an X. It's called a key. This is a kasi, and there's our sigma, 3 letters. First and last letters of the word Christ with the serpent in the middle. In the middle. And again, it goes much deeper than that in that verse. And I'm going to show you that before this series is over. And it's just going to solidify this in your mind. It'll help arm you, guard you against the deception that's coming. I mean, look at this. We've been feeding our kids with this since they were babies, with the serpent man, the snake man, who is the good guy, the superhero. Moving on. So we had the 666, and we see a heavy tie there to the carbon atom. Another way of writing this, 6 times 6 times 6 would be 6 cubed, 6 to the third power equals 216. Now, shapes. whether we're talking about cubes, spheres, circles, triangles, you name it. All the Plutonic solids. They all are at the basis of creation. They're all connected with music, astronomy, creation, and so forth. In other words, geometry is all connected to being able to factor out the number of the beast. But it's not just that. It's all connected to different things in the Bible. You know, that's where the Masons sort of hijacked the symbol of the square and the compass as to symbolize the great mathematician. Well, God is the great mathematician. He's the great geometrician. I think that's a word. He's the master of geometry. He's the master builder because he is the creator. So anyways, we see that this has a meaning when something, what I'm pointing out here, and we haven't gone in depth into it a whole lot, but when you see a number that's cubed, there is a meaning to it. All of this mathematics has a purpose, especially when we're dealing with factors, divine factors that we're talking about. Anyways, 3 cubed plus 4 cubed plus 5 cubed, they're in numerical sequence, equal 216. And 216 is the smallest cube that's also the sum of 3 cubes. And then we have 6 times 36 equals 216. Well, we saw that in the magic square, so-called magic square of the sun, or numeric square of the sun. We saw these factors there. The 6 by 6 squared the number 36, and in biblical numerology, oftentimes zeros, we talked about before, zeros are either added or dropped. So if you added a zero here, you'd have 360 as one of the factors of 216. Interesting. Not to mention the number 36 is the number of constellations in the heavens. So we're beginning to see some very interesting factors developing from this number. And then we get to the number 2,160, which is the number of miles. I'll just say it this way. 2,160 miles is the diameter of the moon. What does 2,160 have to do with the number 216? Well, you see it right there. Oops, I got the next one on there for you. But anyways, you just dropped a zero. You have the same number. It's just that it's 216 to times 10 to the 10th power. And that is the diameter of the moon. We're going to show a lot more about that. That is probably the most interesting piece of this number. And then you have 2,160 years is actually equal to what's called a great month. What's called a great month. We'll talk about that here in a second too. But you have this magic square. Again, I don't like the word magic. This is a multiplication square. It's a 3x3 multiplication square. And each of these, whether you go 2 times 9 times 12, that'll give you 216. 36 times 6 times 1. If you go this way, you go forward, you go backwards, you go diagonal, it always adds up to 216. So what does that tell us? Other than the fact that that's very interesting. Well, it probably tells us a lot more than we'll be able to figure out by the end of this series. But what we see there are some numbers that keep popping up in this series of studies. The number 12, the number 9, the number 36, 6, 1, 18. These other numbers are very important as well. But these are some numbers that we've been seeing a lot. 18 is the number of the sorrow cycles. 36, the number of constellations. 12, the numbers of the zodiac. 9, everything always ends in 9. Many of these, in fact, 216. When you break it down to the digital root equals 9, you go 2 plus 1 plus 6 equals 9. That's a very fascinating phenomenon that you'll see here with a lot of astronomical numbers. They usually always break down to 9. 9, why? Well, 9 is the last number. The last digital number before you get 10. It's just 10 is just two digits. It's 1 and 0. But 9, so 9 really is the final number. Symbolizes finality. And total completeness. Interesting. All right. Now, most of you know what this is. This is the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. And it has the capstone missing. I cannot help but think of, a lot of people, some people think this was built by good builders. And most people understand that it was built by outside supernatural force, by some outside supernatural force or oversight, because of the mathematical qualities in it, the astronomical qualities, the precision of the stones, and how heavy they are and how they were cut to fit precisely on top of each other that no corporation can do today. We don't have that technology. But there's still a debate whether or not this was made by Satan's team or God's team. Well, one interesting thing about it is that the capstone is missing. So if this was built without a capstone, could this possibly be a symbol that Satan and his minions made in defiance of Almighty God to reject Christ? Or could it just be the good angels had this structure built to represent the coming of Christ when he returns to finish the pyramid? That's a good question, but scriptures do tell us that the builders rejected the chief cornerstone. It's one that I'm still currently working on, but there's something undeniable about it is that it uses astronomical math. Much of what we see in the Bible and creation. And that in itself does not let us know if it's good or bad because Satan uses biblical math as well. Creation math, math of the Creator, you name it. Whatever you want to call it. But one scholar did point out an interesting fact about it is that when it was supposedly when this monument was erected, it was erected to line up with the pole star of the dragon, Draco the dragon. I can't remember the name of the star, but there was a star. There's a star in the constellation of the dragon that used to be the pole star. Now that I'll show you that another time. We'll probably look at an interactive map of how that works. But basically what you have there is every so many thousands of years, the North Star changes. Right now it's in what's called the Little Bear, the little congregation, which I think symbolizes God's elect. So the dragon star that all the heavens moved around was rejected and was shifted to the remnant of Almighty God, I think. Anyways, don't want to get too sidetracked here, but it's all connected. This is looking down at the Great Pyramid of Giza. And this is why I'm showing you this monument. There's a lot of stuff goes back to this pyramid. as well as Stonehenge and stuff like that. But anyways, the Great Pyramid was located right here where the Nile River splits off into what's called the Nile Delta. And it just so happens that exactly 108 miles out this way, or if you went out that way, it's all the same, brings you to the very tip of the delta. Fascinating. But when you times that by 2, you get a diameter. In other words, if you take this, if I was to extend this line all the way this way, I did it this way on paper, but if we extended the line all the way out this way, you'd get 216 miles. Again, it's 108 miles from the pyramid. Whoops. From the pyramid out to the edge of the river delta. And then what it makes a circle here that has a diameter of 216. And this is this diagram is from page 192 of The Beginnings, The Sacred Design by Bonnie Gaunt. She did some wonderful work in biblical mathematics and creation. If you haven't got any of her books, she's got like 8 or 10 or something like that, and they're profound. Anyways, what does that remind you of? Well, does that not remind you of the moon? All we'd have to do is add a zero here, and this is common in biblical numerology. You just add a zero, and what do you have? You have a miniature type of the moon with the Great Pyramid as its central point. Why? Why would they do this? You could see that this wasn't just placed on the earth in any old fashion. There was meaning to this. Somebody was trying to connect the moon with the earth. Another interesting phenomena that we saw when looking at the numerical square of the sun is that if you overlaid it over the pyramid, it's just like looking down at the Great Pyramid. The lines coincide with the lines of the pyramid. In fact, there are two crosses, one this way that looks like an X, and then there's actually one this way that looks like a plus sign. And there are actually the Great Pyramid of Giza, actually these sides concave to where there is a line there, division. I don't think that's an accident. But moving on. All right, we're going to talk a little astronomy here. Because as we're starting to figure out, calculating this number of the beast is connected with astronomy. The sun, the moon, the earth, the stars, the zodiac. What the heck is Satan doing? Why does he want this number? Why did he give it to the beast? You see, God was just exposing to us what the number of the beast was. It doesn't necessarily mean that God named him that or gave him that, because I don't think he did. I think Satan did in his rebellion, in his quest to overthrow the stars of God, as is written in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28. But anyways, the earth goes like this around the sun and counterclockwise. And what happens then is we start seeing the sun appears to move throughout the constellations in the same counterclockwise formation. Every day, every month, it shifts over to another sign, another sign, another sign, another sign. Because it goes right around this way. And I'll show you some more illustrations of that. Here's another one. This is the apparent path of the sun as seen from Earth. You see in December here. What's interesting is for those of you who did our Christmas study, here's another little tidbit. We know that at the winter solstice, The days begin to get longer and the nights shorter. Whereas you get to Scorpio, the scorpion, and the nights were getting longer, all the way to the longest, darkest night of the year. And it was just some little observation I picked up. I don't know if it means anything or not, but sometimes these things usually do. Is that you go from the darkest nights of the year, and you have the Scorpio that resides over that, the scorpion, which is a symbol of it is a symbol in Revelation of evil forces, wickedness, and so on. And then you have all of a sudden the light starts triumphing over darkness right after the winter solstice, around the time that Christians all over the world celebrate Christmas. They celebrate the coming of Christ, and which is actually his conception, not his birth. But anyways, it goes over to Sagittarius, who is the archer on the horse. What do you see here in picture here? Well, Sagittarius is shooting back at the scorpion when light starts overtaking darkness. So could it be just naturally when we look up into the heavens that you go from the darkness to the light and the light starts conquering the darkness, symbolized by Christ defeating Satan and paganism? And then we keep revolving around this conflict, this circle. Interesting. All right. So, there is what's called a 360-day lunisolar year. And its foundation is in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 7 and 8, because during the days of Noah, while he was on the ark, the year consisted of 12 30-day months. And if you read through that chapter, you'll see all the documentation there. It's easy to decipher when you take a look at it. It's indisputable. It's just there. But anyways, so what that would look like, let's just say we start here. Every month would equal 30 days, which is a moon or a lunation. So each lunation came every 30 days. The moon would get light and then it would go dark. It would be dark and go light, dark and go light, and so on and so forth. All around like that, with the moon being the timekeeper there, along with the sun. But this is where we're going to go with this. A zodiac year is basically what it is. It is the sun traveling through, like we saw there on those other pictures, traveling through the zodiac in a 360-degree circle. Each sign of the zodiac representing 30 degrees. 30 degrees. So it goes like this. I mean, it goes around and around and around. Each month it jumps one. So you got 30 degrees times 12 gives you 360 degrees. Now, that brings us, I wanted to show you that because we're going to go to what's called the Great Year. And this is important. The Great Year is approximately 25,920 years. All right, we'll start out from the Earth and we'll take this step by step. So you have the sun, which is one of the timekeepers that God gave us in Genesis 1 verse 14. It's specifically used to reckon time. All right. And if we divide up the movement of the sun around, it takes 360 degrees. We can divide up by 12 and you get the 30 degrees, much like the zodiac year. And each of those periods of time, if you divide this up, every 30 degrees equals 2,160 years. Now, what are we talking about? Well, the sun appears to go this way during a regular zodiac year, a 365 day year. But during what's called the precession of equinoxes, while the sun is yearly appearing to go like this, every 2,160 years, it's moving a sign this way. So it's like a wheel within a wheel, almost symbolizing eternity, where time never stops. Year by year goes forward or backwards, but then the time keeps going forward. Interesting. All right, well, add the signs of the zodiac into that so you can see that there. So every 2,160 years, we move from one zodiac age to the next. So what does 2,160 have to do with our study today? Well, if you drop the zero, you have our number 216, but again, 2,160 years is a great month because there's 12 of them. If you have that and you divide it by 12, you get that. I'll show you that in a second here. All right, there's the moon. Well, the moon doesn't seem to have a role in the great year at all, other than the fact it's represented in numerics. Check this out. This is fascinating. Well, the moon is 2,160 miles wide. What is a zodiac month? 2,160. So it's really not that much different than our other chart we're looking at. We're just looking at a longer scaled version of a month, of a lunation. Fascinating. Moons equal months. But in this case, it's the number that equals the moon to let you know this is a great month. Just locked in. Fascinating. Again, 2,160 times 12 gives us the great year. It takes approximately 25,920 years for the sun to move this way through the precession of equinoxes. Which brings up something else. Many of you have heard of the Age of Aquarius. The New Agers talk about it all the time. And many of them think, and others think this as well because of the calendar in, what was that? The Mayan calendar, that's right. One of the cycles supposedly ended in 2012 AD, and everybody made a big deal about it. And a lot of those people in paganism, in the New Age movement, didn't believe the world was going to end in 2012. They just thought we were entering a new age, the Age of Aquarius. And you heard about this in the 1960s, the Beatles and everybody sang about it. The Age of Aquarius is coming. We're going to enter this glorious new age, this messianic age, right? Remember? 216. 216. You know, actually, that just popped in my head right now. That wasn't a planned part of this study. 216, which is the number that the New Agers, as well as the, people of the Synagogue of Satan, cherish so much. Perhaps they think it's because it's going to be their hour of power. But you know, what's interesting, if you go backwards, it'd be about approximately 148 BC, if these dates are correct. Remember the symbol for Christianity was the fish? Or the fishes? And you see it all throughout the parables. They caught the 153 fish and so forth. We talked about how that number fits in with this grand equation as well. But you go from this Christian age, supposedly, to this Age of Aquarius, which the New Agers believe is their age. But you know what? Ignore them for a second. Aquarius is the symbol of a man pouring out water to the fish. To me, it appears as though we're talking about Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit will be poured out in the last days upon God's sons and daughters to prophesy and to expose this great conspiracy of the number 666 and how it was hijacked by Satan, trying to put up his son, the seed of the serpent, as the center of the universe. As a center of time and space. Think about that. Well, this number is debated here because the actual fixed boundaries, people have debate over whether or not the sun is quite into Aquarius yet. Anyways, let's move on. The zodiac year, again, it goes back this way. It's the same thing. You're just looking at a microcosm of the macrocosm. Here's the best way to look. You know, I've been trying to show you all the diagrams, but like me, I have to like see this stuff. I got to get my hands. I got to see a picture of something. Otherwise, sometimes it's just words to me. This is a program called Stellarium. I've used this before in several other videos. It's a free program you can download off the internet. Just Google Stellarium. I think it's Stellarium. And what you can do here is it'll give us an illustration of the night sky, and you can pick dates, times, and so forth. But what I'm going to do with this illustration is we're going to watch the sun go through the 12 signs of the zodiac in a zodiacal year. All right. You can see the date moving down there. We're on January. We're starting from right now. We were in Sagittarius, going to February, March, going to Aquarius. The skip there was the time change. Pisces, see it's moving up. Just going around the circle here. Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, that's the Tropic of Cancer, that's the summer solstice. Leo, Virgo, that's in September, October, as the sun goes through her. And we'll skip up a little bit there. Okay, now we got Libra, the scales. It's interesting, right around the balance is coming out, right around December there. Scorpio, all right, Scorpio, and then to Sagittarius. Look at the sun goes right across his head there, as though the sun of righteousness is defeating darkness. As the days begin to get longer. Fascinating. Anyways, let's review this a little bit here. What we did today, we started factoring out the number 216. And we broke it apart. We got 6 times 6 times 6 equals 216, which seems to symbolize the carbon atom that has 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons put together there. You have another way of writing this is 6 cubed to equal 216. Again, shapes and geometry play a big part in this. You got an interesting sequence here, 3, 4, 5 cubed added together, that equals 216. This one here, I made a mistake here, that's not supposed to be on the slide. 6 times 36 equals 216. That's fascinating because we know 36 is the number of constellations. 6 is half of the zodiac. 2,160 miles is the diameter of the moon, which 216 is a factor of that if you drop the zero, which makes 2,160 years also equal to a great month. And then we looked at all these other factors of 216 that were popping up everywhere in our quest here. The number 12, the number 9, the number 6, the number 1, 36, 18. All astronomical numbers. And so on. So that's what, again, we're not always going to, during this stage, we are merely gathering the factors. We're putting things together a little bit at a time, but we're not necessarily coming up with the grand answer to this, to all of this, to this great mystery. We're gathering the facts like we are commanded to do in Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. And again, I mean, this number 666 seems to be connected to a lot of things. A lot of things. And soon, in one of our upcoming studies, we are going to look at a hidden acrostic in Revelation 13, verse 18. That's going to put much of this equation together. And I'm not just talking about the three letters that equal 666, the three Greek letters. Chi, Chi, and Stigma. Or Sigma. Anyways. Hey, this book of Revelation is a lot deeper than many might think. I mean, this book of Revelation not only gives us so many great mysteries concerning Christ and the kingdom and things to look forward to, but it also shines light on the darkness. It exposes and judges every wicked force on heaven, in heaven and on earth. Did you know that? So for anybody, and that's why Christ said in the beginning of this book, blessed are those that read the word, read and understand the words of this book. This book is so full, it ties together the whole Bible. I can't tell you what an amazingly divine purpose this book of Revelation has. And yet, it's not really understood very well by the masses, even by the majority of Christians. Sure, they got different, you know, tidbits here and there. But for a large part, I mean, the people aren't going into the depth. They see Mother Israel, the woman, in Revelation 12 with the sun shining on her and the moon under her feet. And they don't realize that God's trying to tell us a lot of this stuff is connected with astronomy. A lot of Christians would say, hey, that's astrology. We don't get into that. We can't look at that. That's Satan stuff. Baloney. Satan stole it and twisted it. And God set it right in this great book. Hey, hope you enjoyed that study. Do like what Christ did when he was tempted of the devil in Matthew chapter 4. He told him that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So see that you study it. Digest it. Meditate upon it. Every single day. So that you can be a Christian Overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.